Hello, everybody, with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. Don't wait until later in the broadcast when we're out of time. Call now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Robert Capon said this many years ago. One of the problems with any authentic pronouncement of the gospel is that it introduces us to freedom. And I think when we talk about the grace of God, and grace of God is synonymous with the freedom that we have in Christ, that's where criticisms start to come in. Folks start taking offense at the fact that we are free in Christ. I don't understand that. I don't know why they do, but that's where they lash out, because they think in this freedom we're just going to go wild. We're going to go nuts. And then we come across statements in the Word of God that kind of indicate that that could be the case. For example, in 1 Corinthians 6, Paul writes this, "Everything is permissible for me." Wow, that's a scary statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, how do we deal with that? And Paul has some answers, and he repeats this phrase again later on in the book, "Everything is permissible for me." But he's trying to teach us how to think with grace brains. He's trying to teach us how to truly exercise faith in the risen Christ. But he has to lay it out there that we are indeed free, that everything is permissible. If everything wasn't permissible, then we wouldn't be free, would we?
Yeah, you might have noticed out there, if you've ever done any sinning, you can commit a sin and yet you're not struck by lightning. Your life doesn't end. God seems to allow that sort of thing to happen on planet Earth. So in that sense, everything's permissible. But then I think, Bob, I just think people are scared to trust their hearts. It's like, if I can do whatever I want, then what do I want? And are my wants safe? And what I love about the gospel is that God has changed what we want.
Absolutely. And he's changed what we want by giving us his Spirit. I love this particular passage. He says, "Everything is permissible, not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but I will not be mastered by anything." And that's the real issue. What are we going to be controlled by in life? When we were lost, when we were dead spiritually, we were under the control of sin and death. As Paul said, we were mastered by sin. That's why we can never do anything good. Why? Because sin was large and in charge in our lives. Mm-hmm. But now that chain has been broken. We're no longer under the power of sin. We have been set free by the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Now we've been joined to someone else. And that's the whole basis of this particular passage in the New Testament. He is saying we're not going to be mastered by anything. And here's the reason. Why? Because our bodies have been purchased by the Lord. We now belong to the Lord. Our spirits are one with Christ. I think that is a significant statement. And our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Those are powerful truths that this gospel puts into play in each of our lives. And so how do our wants change? By the very fact that we have God's Spirit living inside of us. And that's what we're afraid to trust. That's who we're afraid to trust. We don't know that he will actually lead us down the right path.
Yeah, I think we're ultimately, you know, we can trust Christ. We can trust his character. We can trust the fact that he's good, that Christ doesn't want to sin. But I think it's the part where you were talking about how he lives in us and he's changed us. And, you know, Romans 6 says we became obedient from the heart. But I know a lot of Christians that would talk about their heart in a totally different way. They would say, "I don't have an obedient heart. I've got a wicked heart. I've got a dirty heart. You don't understand. I've got a lustful heart. I've got a
deceitful heart."
Deceitful heart. They're quoting out of the Old Testament here or there. And so we have this this suspicion, this idea that our heart is not trustworthy. And when we do, we're not about to jump into a life of freedom, because I can't afford to be free if my heart is so dirty. And I guess what we're saying is, you know, you're right. If your heart is dirty, that would be dangerous. But there's more to the gospel that God's done a heart surgery. He's actually changed your heart. And so I tell people all the time, you know, we Christians, we need to try on this statement. I do not really want to sin from the heart. And that's because I've been made new and it's real, and sin never pays off for me.
Yeah. So if you're listening out there, try on that statement. Ask yourself, do you really want to sin from the heart? Is that something that's coming from deep within in you? Are you listening to other voices out there that are trying to move you away from that freedom that you have in Christ? Because there are voices. There are the voices in the world, and there's the voices of our flesh. Sin doesn't want to give up control. I mean, it's lost control. We have been severed from sin's power. We've been severed from the punishment. But sin isn't giving up so easily. It wants control back. And so it's going to take the things of the world, it's going to take the desires of the flesh, and it's going to create scenarios and put them in front of us that seem appealing, that look like, wow, that's where real happiness is going to be found. But that stuff isn't coming from deep within you, where you are one with the Spirit.
Right.
There are other desires that God is putting there. And if you will just look deep within, you will see that godly track being laid before you as far as where God wants to take you in your relationship with Him. And when you go there, that's when you experience this freedom to its fullest measure.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about this track, Bob. I think a lot of times it feels like, man, I'm on a 5-lane highway of sin, and you're asking me to get off on what feels like a little rabbit trail of righteousness. And so it's a new way to think. It's a new way to act. It's going to feel awkward. It's a tough choice. Listen, we are not saying it's easy. There are tough choices to make. But what we are saying is what feels like a rabbit trail at first is going to become familiar and even become comfortable as you realize the skin you're living in now as a child of God. I mean, righteous, holy. This thing is for real. Your heart has changed. And your destiny is that rabbit trail. And one day that's going to feel like the new 5-lane highway.
Absolutely.
That is basic gospel right there.
Yes.
And we welcome you to the broadcast, everybody. If you'd like to add something to the conversation, if you have a Bible question or some particular life issue that you would like to pose to the guys, why, this is your opportunity. We have an open line for you right now, toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. Good in Canada and the U.S., 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to our good friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Well, I'll tell you what, a blessing of blessings. I get to talk to Andrew today and Bob and Rich. You guys are wonderful. Jesus is my life as much as basic gospel is my life. And I wanted to kind of piggyback on what Richard said on Friday and let you all discuss this a little bit. There's two resources that you all hand out quite frequently and people buy, and that's Drive the Stake and Forgiveness, the Door to Life. And when Richard was talking about repentance, so many people, I would venture to say in the high 90% of believers, believe that they need to confess every single sin, or they need to repent of every single sin they do and confess it, and then ask forgiveness according to that bar of soap they use for 1 John 1:9. But what they don't realize is because pastors don't preach the full gospel, and I'm not talking about the gospel where you speak in tongues and you do all these different gifts of the Spirit. I'm talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the fact that God wants us repentance. Bob, when I was doing some research, the word repentance by itself, or repenting of your sins, is used in one thing in the gospel, and that is to repent towards God of unbelief. There's not one single scripture that deals with repentance for every one of the sins you commit and then go get your sins forgiven by asking God to forgive you. And that is bondage. But forgiveness and understanding forgiveness and understanding the gospel from the death, the burial to...
Well, Brad, let me jump in so we can start the discussion on this. and get it rolling. But yeah, repentance is a big issue, and obviously you were talking about it on Friday's broadcast.
Yeah, yeah, we had a call about
Thank you, guys. I'll hang up.
Do I have to repent of everything I've ever done? And I said, no, you don't.
Well, let's
you repented of your unbelief.
Yeah.
Now you get to rejoice in what you've received.
So what happened? This is kind of a chicken, you know, or egg question. Mm-hmm. What comes first? Does repentance come first and then grace? Or does grace enter into the picture, which produces repentance in our hearts? And I think when we look at the Word of God, it's always grace. Mm-hmm. Always God kind of enters in. He injects himself into our lives, into our everyday experiences. He opens up our eyes to see some truth, and then our hearts start to turn away from that old to latch on to what's new in Jesus. That's the way it always works. God's kindness leads us to repentance.
Yeah.
I think about the Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot about repentance. He writes a lot about faith. And he's hell-bent on persecuting the church, and he's going up to Damascus to drag Christians out of their homes, take them back to Jerusalem, put them behind bars there, persecute them. And then he meets Jesus, and Jesus throws out this question, why are you persecuting me? And everything changed right there for Paul. Mm-hmm. But we don't see any, you know, turning away from old and new. It just, he was now focused on Jesus. He saw truth about God. And then later on, as Jesus met with him in the desert, there was this full repentance that took place when he recognized that old way of life. The end result of it was death. And at that point, he died to all that he was in the past, so that he could grab hold of all that he was now in Jesus. That's when repentance took full force in his life. It was a process, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know, Brad is mostly right in his comment. I mean, you know, the word repentance 9 times out of 10 refers to that salvation decision. But there is a time, for example, in Revelation where, you know, God is addressing the churches and he tells them, the church holistically as a group, to repent and turn and you know, honor their first love and do the things they did at first and sort of refocus. And so that to me, I mean, repentance is a change of mind. And we Christians can go back to changing our minds over and over about little things along the journey. And so I don't think repentance is a dirty word for the Christian life. I mean, it's certainly a good word to describe that we turn from this or turn from that. But I think the problem is when we think that something big like Christ's presence is coming and going, or that we're missing out on him, or that we've lost him and he's returning to us. You know, what I'm really comforted by, guys, is just the fact that Christians, we are slaves of righteousness. So to me, that means that we can't even get away from righteousness. Like, as far as repentance goes, or growth, or changing our mind and renewing of our mind, like, God is whittling away at all that. He's fashioning our thinking. He's gone before us, and he's more concerned about it than we are. Sometimes we get freaked out and stressed out about spiritual growth, or am I okay, or am I far enough along, and we do self-assessment. I love that God is eager. He's more eager about our growth and our understanding than we are.
Yes, it really gets back to the simplicity of this, that Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. Repentance is an aspect of that faith, of turning from unbelief to belief. Jesus Christ is the one that authors that. He's the one that brings it to completion. And that's part of his work in us. Where we can fully come to that point where we're fully satisfied in Jesus, that Jesus truly is enough. And that's what he keeps working on. That's what he keeps perfecting in our lives. And perfecting simply means bringing it to its full end. Mm-hmm. getting us to where it's supposed to be. So I think if we'll leave it there, repentance just falls right into place. It's not a confusing thing, and we can really embrace it for what it is.
Open lines and plenty of time on the clock. We want to hear from you. We want you to join the conversation right now at 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We want to mention that this Wednesday night, July 16th, in New York City, Andrew, you will be there. Tell us a little bit about that event and how people can come and be a part of it.
Yeah, the church is called World Changers Church. It's this Wednesday, just a couple of days away, 7 o'clock p.m. Right there at World Changers Church in the Bronx. I'll be presenting a message that night talking about our freedom in Christ, which goes along very well with the theme for this month on the program. And so I'm excited to be there at World Changers Church this Wednesday evening.
Okay, so that's 7 o'clock Wednesday night. If you're in the New York area, New Jersey area, just Connecticut area, right around New York City, you'll certainly want to go and hear Andrew speak. It's a world changer, and it could be a life-changing message for you. So come join us the following week, Thursday, July 24th. I will be there in Manhattan at the American Bible Society. We'll be broadcasting Basic Gospel live that afternoon at 4 p.m. I will be joining Kevin McCullough on his radio broadcast that afternoon as well. All the information on how you can sign up, be a part of this, it's a free event, is available at our website at basicgospel.net. So come out and see Andrew Wednesday night, and the following Thursday, I would love to meet you as well. So two exciting opportunities. Well, let's go down to Atlanta, Georgia, and talk with Dolly. Hi, Dolly.
Hello, Dolly. That
Hi.
Was a song, wasn't it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Okay. Thank you. So I was calling about, I have a grandson finna get married, and his fiance, grandmother is a preacher. But I don't believe in women preachers. And I wanted to know, should I go to the wedding or not?
Well, Dolly, I think you go to support your granddaughter, right? Is that who? That's the
grandson.
One. Grandson. I think you go and support him. You love him, don't you?
I do.
Yeah. Well, just be there and love him through that.
Oh, okay, dear.
Yeah. I think that just makes it simple. I mean, our kids. And our grandkids, they're going to make a lot of choices that we don't necessarily agree with.
Right.
Certainly, we make a lot of choices in our day-to-day lives that God doesn't agree with.
Right.
And yet, God is always present with us. He
yes.
never leaves us. He never forsakes us. We're always in His favor. We are always in His grace.
Okay.
So, he's your grandson. Just love him. Be there for him.
Thank
and
you.
I think if you're there for him, if he gets in trouble in his marriage, guess who he's going to feel comfortable going to get some help? It will be you.
Thank you so very much.
Enjoy the wedding.
It's this Wednesday coming up.
Okay.
Excellent.
Well, you go enjoy it, okay?
Thank you so very much.
All right. Thanks for your call, Dolly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we have open lines and still time on the clock. If you have something you'd like to present, why, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. In the meantime, a question from Mary, kind of a two-parter, guys. She says, once a person receives salvation, is it possible to lose it? Then, what about Jesus' words when he said that not everyone who calls him Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven? What about a prodigal who doesn't return to God, though he or she at one time has said yes to Jesus and received salvation? What do you think about those issues?
Well, it seems like when a person thinks they can lose their salvation, that it comes down to what if I do this? What if I do that? What if I keep sinning and keep struggling with the same sin over and over and over? Or what if I sin? Here's one. What if I sin willfully? You know, as if you've caught God by surprise and your will got in the way. Well, every sin is willful. You don't accidentally sin and oops, there I sinned without my will involved. So, you know, I think it ultimately comes down to the simple fact that the God of the universe looked down the timeline of your sins, past, present, future, even your willful sins, and he took them all away and he forgave them. And you know, Mary, this new covenant is really an agreement between God and God. And it says that by two unchangeable things, we have this hope as an anchor. So if my theology involves me and what I'm doing, and that's the anchor, no wonder I get confused. But if my theology involves an anchor that is God and God and the pact, the agreement, the covenant that he made with himself, well, then, wow, that's something I can really be anchored to. You know, the second part of the question, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, you know, that's one we often hear. What do you guys think about that second part of the question?
Well, this really gets to me, gets down to a matter of biblical context. You know, when we put things in context, questions that we have about different passages seem to get answered. And in that context, Jesus is talking about false prophets. There are wolves in sheep's clothing. And so at some point, they're going to stand before God, and they're going to make a case for being in his presence eternally. They're going to make their case for eternal life. Mm. And they're going to build their case on all of these miraculous and, quote, supernatural things that they did in Jesus' name. But it's all going to fall down on, Lord, look at what I have done. It's the me, the I type of mentality. I am good enough. I have earned my way into your presence. So they are going to be presenting a works-based theology. And no one can get into heaven through works. No one can get into God's presence, can earn their way into God's presence through obedience to the law. There can be all kinds of supernatural things that you may do, and there are a lot of supernatural forces that are out there that aren't necessarily godly forces. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to argue your case based on what you've done, you're going to be cast out, because there's no salvation in any other name than in the name of Jesus. And if any of us are going to stand before God, when we do stand before God, I'm not going to say one word about what I've done or what I haven't done. All I'm going to say is, Lord Jesus, thank you that you died in my place, that you were buried, and that you were raised back to life so that I could live with you. That's the only case that we can present that has merit. And it's not based on our merit. It's based on the achievement, the accomplishment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So apart from him, there is no salvation. In him, salvation is complete. It's secure. It is forever.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Bridgeport, Connecticut, and talk with Walter, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Walter.
Hello. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you so much.
How can we help you?
I just recently, had a wonderful, wonderful experience. I can't thank my Lord, enough. I was visiting a church and I was overwhelmed with a lot of problems and things that are going on in my life. And came time where the pastor had asked the congregation if there was anyone who wished to come to the altar, to leave their woes there, and leave their baggage and ask Christ to come into their life and everything. It was such an overwhelming experience, something I've never felt before, something that I knew I've always wanted. But I feel great. I mean, I have a new outlook on life, and I'm still struggling with some of my demons, but I'm giving them to my Lord, and I'm asking them to take these thoughts and everything away. My question is, any clarification on being born again or being...
Well, Walter, let me jump in because we're about out of time on the air. Being born again is simply being made alive in Christ. You were dead spiritually. That's how you came into this world. You were separated from God's life. Through faith in Jesus, you cross over from death to life. That's what new birth is. You're born again into the family of God, and now you have a brand new identity. You're called a child of God. But let me do this for you, Walter. We've got some great resources that we'll send you, and then somebody will speak to you a little further after the broadcast. Okay, you hang on.
Well, we are out of time for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Remember, we need your support to keep the message going. And for a gift of any amount, we will send you a copy of John Lynch's book, The Cure. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. For Bob Christopher, Richard Piver, Andrew Farley, and the ministry team, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time.